And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match No Match every third Monday from 2 to 4. The lovely Leah Haven is the star, one of the stars, and she's outside talking to someone. I think she's reporting in that we got a match today. And Robbie, how do you feel about the match?
Oh, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think she's it's going to be fun to get to know.
Oh, yeah.
A little more about her.
She's very nice. No question. And so are you. This is, see, we're matchmakers. Is this exciting or what?
I love what we do, Dave.
Well, where'd your microphone go? I'll say hello.
Hello.
Oh, there. You're back. Tommy. Tommy boy. Come on in here. Let's have a lecture. I'm kidding. Okay. Wait, he's going to say something. Go ahead. No, no, really. Tommy's a drummer. He's our producer, our great producer, by the way. And what do we always say? Oh, there's his drum roll. See, he's a drummer. Okay, so tell us about, how about young kids? If they want to become a comedian, are there schools for that or what?
No, there's no schools for young. You know, usually if it's a child, they usually start out in something like acting, and they can learn improv and things like that. You know, comedy is just a little different, and I think it changes as you get older.
I would agree with that. Comedy is really hard. I can't even remember the punchlines in a joke, so I admire anybody that can do it.
It is hard.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy.
No.
And a lot of times, every show is different when you're a comedian. You know, I mean, you have different things, different obstacles when you're up on stage. You know, you have to deal with people talking or noise in the background or this size audience or that type of crowd. And it's different, and you have to learn how to connect instantly, pretty much, with, you know, if you don't do it instantly, then you're lost for the entire show.
Wow.
Now, are there comedians that just, they don't have any prepared jokes, they just go out there and they just do an improv? I mean, they're just completely...
Hence the word improv, Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, are there?
Yeah.
Wow. I think that's talent, just to go up there and play off the audience and make up funny stuff right on the spot. That's got to be difficult, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but there's always that little element that, you know, if something happens, you have to address it. You can't just get right back into what you're doing. You know, the whole idea behind stand-up is to make it sound like you've never said it before.
Oh, I gotcha.
Almost, you know, like it's just coming out, and you know, that takes a lot of practice. I mean, it could be a joke that you've done 1,000 times, and it still has to come out
fresh,
pretty genuine,
every time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a talent in itself.
Well, and you write everything yourself.
I write everything, yes.
Wow. As a right. As one writer, and my stuff is not funny that I write. Well, sometimes it is. Relationships can be pretty funny.
They really are.
It's the key. If you write what for yourself, you know, you have to like it before someone else is going to like it. And I think that's a lot of where the problem is, that people are writing what they think other people are going to think is going to be funny. Yeah. But you need to think it's funny first and believe in it.
So the couple of my favorite comedians, let's talk about that. One is Gary Shandling.
Okay.
Do you remember him?
Yeah, I know Gary. I don't know him, but I know who he is.
He's very funny. Have you seen him?
I did. You know who I love, though? My all-time
Don
favorite.
Don Rickles.
He's okay. My favorite of all times is Johnny Carson.
Oh, he was good.
He was really good because he could do anything.
He was very good.
And I grew up watching him.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah,
I own the best of Johnny Carson.
I just collection.
It's,
I thought he was awesome.
I love Johnny Carson's show, and I remember, you know, when he passed away, it was just like this huge.
Yeah.
I was sad. I was sad because he was such an icon, and you know, very clean.
Yeah, I think everybody was sad when he passed away. Not just the comedy community, but just everybody who watched him. I mean, he's been on the air for how many years?
Oh,
30.
A long, long time. He just was the epitome, though, of just class, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was very, very... How about Jay Leno?
Leno?
Yeah.
Funny? He's still alive.
Yeah.
Barely. No. Yeah,
no, I think Jay Leno...
He's on The Tonight Show.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't seen a lot of his stand-up, like, recently, but I know that he gets up every week, and I think that, you know, being... as big as he is and still getting out and working out material, I think I think that says a lot about you, you know.
There are some people that just really bring it when it comes to, I can't even imagine going to Vegas and doing some of the shows that are done in Vegas, the stand-up. I'm trying to, Rita Rutner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I saw her.
I just think, She is amazing. Yeah. She's really amazing. And I, the stuff that I don't even know how she comes up with some of this stuff. How do you guys think of this stuff? It just,
it's just every day, you know, once you're a comedian, you know, you start thinking of things in a different way. You start looking at things differently. And, you know, and unfortunately, you don't, you know, for me, it's doing stand-up takes a lot of fun out of the entertainment. You know, I can't watch a movie without thinking about the writer, thinking about, you know, the actor, what he's, you know, instead of just enjoying it. You know, you look for all the details now.
So when you go to the movie, you have a notepad with you?
No.
He's making mental notes.
Oh, there you go.
Notes at the movie theater. But
now, another old-time comedian really enjoyed Buddy Hackett. Remember Buddy?
I know who he is.
Was he? Did you remember
Buddy Hackett? Yeah,
a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen it. I think there's maybe some stuff on the Carson videos that I have.
Yeah, I'm sure is.
Yeah.
And I think another sort of an old timer, not that old. Robin Williams, I thought he was hysterical when he did stand-up.
He was, but he was a little raunchy sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
I've never met Robin Williams, but I heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I heard that everything that he does is completely scripted from every movement that he does on stage. And I thought that was interesting. If it's true, then that's you know.
Then what a craftsman. Because I can't even imagine. I would think that it would have to be, because so much of what he does is so, it's mind, body, face.
Yeah.
And he's very cognizant of his body language, which I think to be a good comedian, you'd have to be.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
He's very good, yeah.
How about a upcoming guy? Well, not so upcoming, but Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon's very talented.
I think he is, too. What do you think?
I love Jimmy Fallon. I think he's a great guy.
But how about Conan? I don't think he's that funny.
I don't think he's funny.
Do you think he's funny?
I think he's pretty wild.
Sure,
you know, he was a writer for Saturday Night Live, and I think he's very, very brilliant.
Really?
You know, yeah. Hmm. I mean, he gets out there and he's just goofy and people like it. I mean, that can go one of two ways, but you know, for the most part, he wins them over pretty quick.
I have a question for you. Old Saturday Night Live, new Saturday Night
old
Live.
Old Saturday Night
All
Live.
All right, we're agreeing.
Oh, man, old.
I mean, Dan Aykroyd, Jane Curtin.
Steve Martin.
Bill Murray.
Ugh.
I mean, Chevy Chase.
Good action there.
I mean,
Mike Myers.
You know that he was great, too. Eddie Murphy.
I loved Chris Farley. Chris Farley was my...
Chris Farley was amazing. Oh,
Dana Carvey, who didn't make it that big, and I think it's super talented, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Church Lady.
Yeah, how about John Lovitz?
He was just at the Improv not too long ago.
He was?
Yeah, yes, you missed him.
He's doing quite a bit of, you know.
I didn't know that.
He's doing a lot. He's got his club out in L.A. that he runs. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Does he do that skit with lying still?
You know, I had other shows. I couldn't even watch his show.
Oh, my gosh. But Mike Myers, what a talent that guy is, right?
Wayne's World?
Austin Powers.
Austin Powers. Oh my God!
I mean, that's talent.
Yeah,
the guy is like super talented. What, is he doing anything these days?
He's moved into the acting. Will you be doing anything like that, Robbie? Are you gonna parlay your comedian talents into acting?
If it comes along, I will. You know, I don't want to give up stand up. You know, I love doing the life stuff. But I mean, if something comes up, then absolutely, I'll do it.
Okay, then we can say we knew him when.
Yeah. Will you forget us?
No.
Hey, he said no, because we gave you Valley Luna gift certificates, or Valley Luna gave you Valley Luna gift certificates. Now, have you ever acted before?
A little bit. I've done a little acting. I mean, I don't go out, and it's usually people asking me, and they come and...
Well, look at that face. Of course, he's got the face of a leading man.
Yeah, that's true. Oh. You're going to do very well. Wow. We want to become your manager now. No, okay. Wait, that's live on the air. We should negotiate off the air. Now, when you're doing stand-up, do you have like a group of followers that sort of always say, oh, Robbie's here and we want to see him?
Over the years, I have a lot of the same people that come out and watch shows. And it's to the point now they come out and watch the bigger shows. Like they'll be coming out April 5th to see this, you know, and I always try to give them something new when they do that. But yeah, there's a lot, and a lot of it, you know, and it's a lot of fun when they come out and they want certain jokes to be done. Even if I get tired of doing them or whatever, I'll still do it because they're there.
Now, what is your biggest shtick?
My biggest shtick?
Yeah. What are you known for that people know you for? Huh. Your favorite or your best routine?
Oh, my... The joke, I've been doing a joke for a long time now, and it's, and I think you saw it. It's the subway joke.
I like the subway joke.
And that's what seems to be everyone's favorite joke.
Subway sandwiches?
Subway sandwiches, yeah. And
can you do it today, or is that something?
It's, I don't know if it would work.
Because okay. it's a visual thing?
It's kind of, it's a little visual.
It's visual, sound
so
effects.
Then they have to come out April 5th to see this.
Yeah. And I do it every time, you know, because if I don't, then I hear about it. And they come
oh, really?
Up afterwards and get upset. And but it's, you know, I've even received letters from parents saying my kids would, you know, I would walk in and my kid is doing the subway joke. And I thought that's a huge compliment, you know, that, you know, little kids are trying to do that joke. And I, you know, we put other comedians to the challenge. They can't even do the joke.
Oh,
they've
really?
Seen it a thousand times and they can't do it.
Is it difficult?
I think we should have a subway joke contest.
I think
that's
so
a
too.
Great idea. You want to do that?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind. I don't know.
We could rotate people into the studio.
Absolutely.
I think this is because you know a lot of comedians, right?
I do, yeah.
Is it only for males or can females do it?
Yeah, it's for anyone.
Wow.
I think that would be kind of fun.
Can we have Leah try it?
Oh, no.
Can you
might
it?
Win.
No.
I want to see you at the improv. Wow.
Oh, I'll go to the improv and I'll sit in the row, but you're not going to catch me. I can't remember the punchlines.
Oh, yeah. That would. How important is that, Robbie?
It's everything. Yeah. You got to kind of know the joke.
Yeah. That's the part that makes them laugh.
That so. Would, yeah. I think you're right. Now, April 5th is a Thursday.
Yep. April 5th, Thursday, 7:30.
Yeah. Till when?
7:30, and the show will last till about 9 o'clock.
Wow, that's some good funnies.
It is really good funnies.
You know, they say, by the way, laughter is good healing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
That's really big, isn't it?
Well, you know, they say that, I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Secret, but there was a woman in there that was dying of cancer, and all she did was hurt her husband. They would watch one funny film after the other. And I don't know about you, but when you are laughing hysterically, it's really mm-hmm. difficult to be mad, be upset, be angry.
It really is.
You know, I mean, I think it truly is probably one of God's greatest gifts.
I think one of my biggest compliments that I've ever had, I had a friend that I knew years ago that told me that her grandmother was dying. And she said, "Do you have anything?" And I had a CD, you know, my first CD that I had, and sent it to her. And she told me that her grandma loved it, and it was the last thing she heard before she passed away. So she passed out in good spirits. And so
wow.
I thought that's probably the, you know, that's one of the reasons why I do it, you know, that it just.
That is fantastic. That is really.
You have the opportunity to make people happy, and
yeah.
what a great gift that is. How many
yeah.
people get to do that for their job?
Yeah, not many. That's no. exciting. Have you ever thought of it that way?
Oh, all the time.
And that's why this is your passion.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. You can't get me away from it. So.
Well, one of the things that I like about you is you do stand up for families.
Mm-hmm.
And how cool is it to see these little ones with the big eyes looking up
yeah.
on stage at you?
Yeah, it is. You know, and that happens sometimes. I mean, I've had, we did a, I think it was an orphanage.
Oh,
that's what
really?
We did. We did an orphanage, and they said it was going to be a bunch of high school students, which is fine. That's a perfect age. But we got in there, and it was about 60% little, tiny kids. And I remember a little one-year-old, two-year-old was standing right there next to me. I didn't see the baby, but it was staring up at me, and it turned into a part of the show. But it's, you know, I mean, comedy is it's really geared toward whoever can sit and pay attention and go through. But I don't mind performing for all ages. I mean, I don't do, you know, balloon animals or anything up there, but... But it's I like to know that I can perform, and it doesn't matter who's sitting in the audience. That it's just not offensive, you know. I think it has a bad reputation. Clean is usually considered kind of cheesy or corny, but
you're changing that right now, right?
Yeah,
you're changing the way clean comedy is really.
And hopefully it's just, you know, it's just funny is funny is what I think. And I don't think that you need to use profanity if you don't have to. And but it is by no means is it a corny show at all.
Well, you know? Clearly it's not. Otherwise you wouldn't continually be booked all the time.
Right.
And you have quite the following, I noticed.
Yeah.
When I came to see you, he has quite a fan club.
Really?
Yeah, but it's all right, I think.
Yeah, trust me.
That is so cool. That's got to make you feel good that people appreciate what you do.
Yeah, it feels really good. I mean, it's a lot of hard work, so.
Now, let me ask you this. What's the difference between writing jokes for adults versus little kids?
For me, I write what, like I said earlier, I write what I think is funny. And just, you know, fortunately, it's worked for all ages. I mean,
oh, it is.
From
okay.
senior citizens down to, you know, 7, 8, 9-year-olds, you know.
Do you have a favorite audience?
A favorite audience?
The age group?
No. I like, you know, I like people who laugh.
Okay. Well, you know, some of these teenagers could get so morose. So having a comedian around could be pretty
you know,
good.
That's the greatest feeling too, is when you're done and teenagers come up or kids come up to you and they're throwing jokes back at you of what you just did, and they're you hear them kind of reciting the joke that you just got done telling on
and
stage.
They're quick.
Yeah, and they pick it up fast, and that happens quite a bit with some of the shows that I've done, and that's you know, I love that. But it's the same joke that, you know, someone in their 50s would laugh at, or 60s. So.
Wow, that's impressive.
Can you tell he loves what he does?
I can tell. That is just even, that's the greatest quality I think anyone can have, loving what you do, mm-hmm. and no matter what, continue doing it, because that's what your gift is, and maybe that's why you're here on Earth.
I always say, you know, if it's something, if we just eliminated money, would you still do it if you didn't get paid? And I would. I would still do stand-up, even if there's no money involved.
So were you the funny, the class clown in the class?
No, I was the quiet kid.
Really?
I kind of suspected that.
Yeah, I was very, I couldn't speak in front of the class. I couldn't, you know, if they called my name in class, I could barely put my hand up. And that's who I was.
Wow.
And so just completely, I mean, in opposite ends of what it
now,
was.
Now,
so.
What inspired you to get into comedy? Because that's being shy introvert to going to comedian, that's quite a 180.
Yeah, I've always kind of wanted to do it. You know, it's always in the back of your head, and I just got to the point where it's just like you're gonna, you know, and I know my best friend's listening right now, and I remember just talking to her, and she had told me that, you know, you live once and just do it. You have nothing. You're just not gonna kill you. And so that's just kind of the model that I've always believed in, and I just needed to hear her say that. And
she sounds like a really good friend. Do you want to say hi to her?
Hi, yeah, Maria, if you're listening, hello, I miss you, I miss the girls, and say hi to Brad and Gina for me.
Nice shout-out. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Robbie Wagner. Get out there at the Improv April 5th, starts at 7:30, but they should get their tickets in advance, I guess, right?
Yeah. Get your tickets in advance, and you can call 480-921-9877, or you can visit it at 10pimprov.com.
Excellent, and we'll be right back.
Tax time is here again. Let Barenbaum and Spieth relieve your burden and stress while we provide you with easy and sophisticated preparation on your tax return. Whether you are a business such as a partnership or a corporation, as well as an individual, state, or trust, we can help you with your tax return preparation in a way that allows you to feel safe and secure. Barenbaum and Spieth has experienced, knowledgeable, and personable CPAs and staff, and look forward to helping you. Please call 602-266-5633 and ask for Mitchell Spieth, CPA.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match, No Match, every third Monday of the month from 2 to 4, starring the lovely Leah Haven, owner and founder of SmartFem. And it's really an honor and pleasure to have Robbie Wagner in studio because he has such a great heart. It's been really, isn't it nice, Leah, to get to know someone, especially on the air? It's been 2 hours, and it's really evolved where Robbie is such a genuine individual out to help people first and foremost. He delivers it through being a comedian. You got to admire someone like that.
Well, I do. And I know where Robbie comes from, Yuma, Arizona. So
yeah.
I really admire, because to get where you are now, I know what a tremendous, you know, it's difficult to get out of Yuma. I mean, especially when we were there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a lot bigger now, but, you know, it was really small, and it wasn't, if you didn't know anybody and you didn't have connections, it's a very tough place to get out of back then.
Yeah. Really?
So, yeah.
I mean, and for him to go into, and to be shy, I love your story. You're a little shy introvert, and you became a comedian. I love that.
Yeah. It was very hard to do, and like I said, you know, it took a year before I was actually somewhat comfortable getting up and performing, and a whole year of performing night after night, you know, and that's a scary thing if you're not outgoing.
So, can you say you're an introvert or an extrovert, because you have both sides? I mean,
I can be either, and I think a lot of people, when they meet me, they expect me to be kind of, you know, wild and outgoing, and I'm not. When I get on stage, then it's a little different.
So that's your persona, your stage persona.
No, I mean, when you write comedy and you get up and perform it, it's you. It might be you times 10 or you times 100, but, you know, and all the thoughts and everything, and a lot of things, people will come up after shows and they say, you know, they think that a lot of the material is just kind of fabricated, that it's made up, and it's not. And it may, you know, the exaggeration may be huge, but it's true. You know, I have people all the time, they say, "Oh, I thought that was made up. I thought it was fake. I thought it was just for the sake of the joke," and it's not.
So it is true what they say: life is stranger than fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I find that the funniest things are real life.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And that's probably what you write about, right, Robbie?
Yeah, write about real life,
because people can
write a lot about, you know. And to me, it's just I enjoy sharing on stage, and a lot of it is, at one point it was pain, it was something that was hard, and you know, once you get over it and you can start writing about it and shine light on it, then a lot of people can connect with it, because a lot of things that I talk about are what people thought about before, or what they've gone through, or what they're going through. Sometimes, you know, that happens too after shows. And so it usually connects with people, and I think that's...
Well, as a relationship expert, one of the things that I enjoyed about your show, The Divorce Diet, taking a really heavy topic and, you know, putting a comedic spin on it, and just, you know, taking some of the heaviness away from it, and just, you know, forcing people to stand back and look and making it funny.
Recognize themselves in it. A lot of times people have gone through it, and, you know, when they can kind of see, you know, people love to see other people's misery, but they find themselves in it, and it doesn't bring up any ill feelings. And in fact, it teaches them and shows them a way that they can let go. And I think it's more for healing, I guess, you know.
I definitely think that's true, and I think it's just but the first time I heard that, and the fact that you lost 65 pounds, you look great, by the way.
Thank you.
It's so reticent of what people are going through. I mean, it was really you, and I think we could all kind of empathize, because there's still, you know, there's always pain with divorce.
Yeah.
But you've gone through it. You're able to laugh about it, and you're helping other people laugh about it, which I think is huge.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. Now, I have a question that maybe some of the listeners are curious about. I think I know the answer, though. Delivery versus content. Now, you write the content, but you also have to put in how you're going to deliver the content. How do you go about doing that, and which is more important?
Content versus delivery? You know, I think delivery, you know, anything can be funny if it's delivered the right way.
Yeah.
I've had jokes in the past, and sometimes they come out there's an opportunity to use them. And people, comics would come up afterwards and say, I don't know why people laugh at that. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Mm. And it's because of the way it was set up, and it was the way that it was delivered. You know, I mean, you're how they receive it and when you use it. But it really, your content could be anything, and you can make it funny, hopefully.
Well, I mean, really, it is stupid stuff. I mean, I know a lot of people loved the Three Stooges. I'm not into slapstick.
Mm, that's still on, by the way.
But see a woman all dressed up to the nine walk out of the ladies' room, and there's toilet paper trailing out of her dress. I'm sorry. I'm going to laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of stuff really happens.
Men do that, too. Just
I haven't. I've seen it on the shoe, but bless her heart, there was a woman. I'm in my 20s, and I was having a really, really bad day.
Hey, that reminds me of a movie.
And she was she's walking out of the ladies' room, and she's a big woman.
Really?
Yeah, and she's got her dress tucked into her pantyhose. And I'm just dying, and I just had the world's worst day, and then
Feel better.
It did make me feel
better.
If
you're that lady, call in right now, and we'll give you another gift certificate.
And I felt bad for her, but it was the funniest thing.
That is funny. But in a movie, this is true, a movie, The Breakfast Club.
I love that movie.
Remember when that guy, he's sort of a well-known actor, he said, no one's going to make a fool out of me, and he turned around, and there's a toilet paper on his shoe.
Love that.
That was a great movie, wasn't it?
That was a great movie.
Judd Nelson, I think.
They start a restaurant here with that now?
Judd Nelson?
No, The Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I think it's in Old Town, I believe.
Wow.
Ally Sheedy.
I mean, that had a...
Molly
Ringwald, yes.
Oh, Emilio Estevez.
Yes, Michael Anthony Hall.
Who else? Who are we missing? No, I think that's it.
I think that's it.
That was a great cast.
It was a great cast.
Boy, they had some... They had a little run there, didn't they?
They did.
Those guys, young guys and...
They all, actually pretty much, almost all of them cashed in, too.
Yeah. Who's the most well-known right now? Let's see.
I'd say probably...
Amelia?
Amelia's more behind the camera, but very successful. I'd probably say Judd Nelson, maybe, or Molly Ringwald.
She's still cooking?
Yeah, she's back.
I haven't seen Ally Sheedy for a while.
She's kind of weird. She's a strange duck.
In the movie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you noticed any of those...
Well, not
for a while. You know, but the new group, and we only have a few minutes left, I think, is Vince Vaughn, Jonah Hill, right?
Yes.
Seth Rogen. Those are some really talented. Jason Segel, how can we forget?
I love Jason Segel.
Well, anyway, wow, we're at the end of the show. Let's give some more shout-outs to April 5th.
April 5th.
Who do they call, and how do they get tickets?
Call the Tempe Improv. The phone number is 480-921-9877, and we actually have a promo code with SmartFem that they're going to be doing for a couple days here, is that if you call in, then just use SmartFem, and you get 2-for-1 tickets.
Wow.
That is good. So you're
just told me that on the... coming over here. So I think that's really nice.
Oh, wow. Send me the information. We'll put it on our website and in our newsletter this week.
Okay.
Wow. Robbie Wagner, thank you for coming in. We want to get you in again.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Leah Haven, always nice to see you.
So good to see you.
We'll see you Wednesday, right?
You will see
David
me Wednesday.
Jones. Got a great show in sports on Wednesday. Thank you to Amanda. Thank you to the improv to allow Robbie to come on today.
That was great.
Definitely appreciate that. Everyone, tomorrow we'll be on again, 2 to 4, Breakthrough Thinking. Have a great night. Go Coyotes. They're back in seventh place.
Woo!
Won a comeback victory last night. See you tomorrow.